Karen Lyle here with SailSportTalk.com, and I have with me today in the studio Captain Kurt Bulger, and he is the captain of the BAP Union, which is an amazing tall ship. Could you for a moment tell us about your tall ship and what its role is in your country?
As you said, I'm the captain of BAP Union, and BAP stands for Peruvian Navy Ship. It's Peru's tall ship. It's a training ship for the Peruvian Naval Academy. So what we do is it has two parallel but complementary missions. We train our future officers in the arts of seafaring in the tall ship, but we are also, as you said earlier, an ambassador of Peru to the many countries and ports that we visit. And I said complementary because we think that to be a naval officer, you have to be also a good citizen. To be a good citizen, you have to be an education that covers different areas of civil society. And visiting ports, as traveling is a university by itself.
So tell me, what is the length overall of your ship and how many sails? Maybe you can explain. I know that it has four masts.
Yeah, it's a four-masted bark. As you said, any tall ship, I think it's a bridge between tradition. Since we are a training ship, it's also a bridge between tradition and the future, because we carry the future mariners or seafarers in this case our country. Yes, it's a four-masted bark. In length, it's I'll say it in feet. No, we don't really work in the metric
system. I know.
It's okay. Yeah, but it's a 379 feet long.
How many crew does it take to operate?
Right now we have 113 cadets, plus the regular crew, officers, guests. We are right now in a total of 250.
If you were going to send a message from the BAP Union to the 168 countries that receive our broadcast and those 82 million people, what would you say?
I'll say that we are looking forward to visit, I don't know if 180 something countries, but at least those that have ports, we wish we soon come and visit them and have the opportunity for people of those countries to visit us. We have, I think, as I said, we are very proud of our ship. We are very proud of what we can offer, and we want to share it, and we want as many people to visit us as possible. So we look forward to visit every possible country.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
I'm 33% sure Rick Tittle is the father of my child, but I'm 100% sure Rick Tittle is a jackass.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network and on Twitch.tv and the Twitch app. We are very excited, as always, at 9:40 on Tuesdays to do our SailSport Talk segment. Karen Lyle is in studio once again, but let's go to Eureka, California. I have found it. We have the postmaster, Heather McTeague, and also the mayor, Susan Seaman, who are going to be doing a Lady Washington postal cancellation. Is this the biggest thing in Eureka today, you two?
I would say it is not the biggest thing in Eureka, but it was certainly a fabulous thing to happen.
So you had this cancellation on the 27th, which was Sunday, right?
Yes. It was Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
And this was the first time both of you had been on the tall ship, the Hawaiian Chieftain, who took that cancellation for you?
It was the first time for me to. I'm sorry, Susan.
I know I am too. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I'm going to ask Mayor Susan Sherman. Seaman, why don't you tell us what your experience was, because I think none of the people knew that you were going to arrive, and all of a sudden they have the mayor on their ship.
Yeah, I got a call the day before because there was a problem with the Lady Washington. We have somebody on our city council who actually serves on the Coast Guard. So she was originally going to be the person who was doing the cancellation, and she would have been a fabulous representative. But at the last minute change, I fit in the time, and I was happy to do it. I think I have been on the Chieftain before. They come up fairly regularly, and I think I took my kids on a tour when they were little, but I certainly never done the sail with them.
And so Postmaster Heather McTeague, were you also on the lines helping to raise some sails, or was that strictly Susan doing that work?
We let Susan take care of that. I was in kind of a like form-fitting blazer, so it was a little difficult. So Susan did the grunt work for us.
That's right. I did not get the memo about dress code, so was conveniently and strangely dressed for the occasion.
That sounds like a great blast that you had there. You were firing some cannons and celebrating this special postal cancellation for the Lady Washington's journey. And then she arrived on Sunday night, I believe, having come up the coast. It's a little bit rocky up there. Well, the rocks, a little bit rough weather for them, and that's why they had to pull into Bodega Bay.
It was windy the day we were out as well. It was the sails, they couldn't put all of them up because it was very windy, but it was beautiful and sunny, so we were happy for that.
And I guess Mayor Seaman, with a name like that, you take to the water like a fish, right?
I took to it naturally, yeah. My name was appropriate, and it was nice to be acknowledged for my name in that way and not the way everybody else likes to acknowledge me.
Oh, my goodness. So what happens now with this cancellation? We had this happen in San Francisco here in our studio last week. Is this something that goes into an archive? Is it framed? What happens now?
We gave one to Mayor Seaman so she could put it up in her office. And we have the cancellation available until the end of May. And if customers just come in and want the cancellation, they just have to ask for it. And we're advertising it in all of our retail stations here in Eureka, and as well as our sister cities around the county. And they just come in, bring a stamped envelope, and we go ahead and make that special cancellation for them. So it's really special, really something neat to do for the community.
So, Postmaster McTeague, if I go into a post office, can I still buy one stamp?
Absolutely.
All right. Listen, I want to thank both of you. We've been speaking with Eureka Postmaster Heather McTeague and Eureka Mayor Susan Seaman. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll catch up with you soon, maybe.
All right. Thank you.
So all right. I want to remind everybody that this was brought to you by Building Bridges. And coming up, we're now going to be getting on Skype. Dominic's going to work on it with skipper Duncan Hines. He was winner of Newport to Ensenada race. And Karen, you were saying that there are different winners. It's not just one, like Usain Bolt in the 100-meter dash, right?
Right. When we've been talking to the SailGP racers, for example, they're all in the same type of boat, and they come in and sail on that boat. In this one, there are multiple classes, and so the boats are rated, and they each race against boats that are similar to themselves, so that it's really much more about the performance of the boat, and one doesn't have an advantage over another class. They're rated and awarded things in their own categories.
All right, we're joined by skipper Duncan Hines, one of the winners of the Newport to Ensenada race this past weekend. How many boats? Is this true there was over 100 boats out there, Duncan?
I think there was actually 136.
Wow.
Contestants. Yeah.
How do you separate yourself from the pack without a cannon?
Oh, that's a good question. I suppose, like you put really, you look at where everyone's lining up. You get used to the race starts. They're actually, like one of a moment in the whole thing that's quite exciting, and try to get a take the advantage of your start line and get a clean start.
I love that your boat Alive is out of Tasmania. That just gives it a little more of a whirling dervish type of feel to it. But it is a 66-foot canting keel Reichel Pugh. How would you describe that in a nutshell to the layman?
It's like the Ferrari of the racing world.
And it's a beautiful boat. I've seen pictures of it. I haven't seen her in person, but I understand that this boat and yourself also won the 2018 Rolex Sydney to Hobart race.
Yeah, that's correct.
And did you sail there?
Yes.
that's really the feat, because where did you come from immediately before that race?
Oh, okay. We were in Australia, so we'd been in Asia until about June, and we came back from Asia, and then we got ready for the Australian program, and we did a few regattas in Australia to get ourselves prepared, and then Sydney to Hobart. So you just move the boat to the locations that the race is taking place.
Well, and this one, the Newport to Ensenada race, what was your time on that race?
Oh, that's a good question.
Do you even know?
No, I don't know.
It's okay. It's okay. Well, I mean, I understand it could be somewhere between 5 and 6 hours.
It's a lot longer than that. Yeah, it's a 125-mile race, and
you had 8 knots of wind or something like that. It was light winds on that race.
Yes.
So that
yes.
That accounts for the little bit of the slower speed.
And yeah. Well, that's it.
I understand. We interviewed. I interviewed Pete Melvin before the race, and I understand that his AC-45 took a different path than the rest of the pack, and you stayed in this. In with everyone else and came out first.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the ACs they're a very quick boat, so they create apparent wind, and so they have to sail certain angles. We were pleased. We were actually in front of them when they retired. So
you were just fine with that, I see.
Oh, awesome!
So, how high does your boat point in the wind? I know that the AC is maybe somewhere more like 160 to 120 is where their optimal place is. But how about you?
Well, it depends what you're trying to achieve. So, I suppose our boat's fairly good in from 36 degrees through to 140, but our optimal, the best points of sail, I suppose, are either one or two, the 140 or the 36.
And then just for the those who are not sailors, that's in relationship where zero would be the wind direction. And so
Yes. This
was a downwind sail, is that correct?
That's correct. It was a downwind race the whole way.
So you didn't have to tack. Any jibes in there?
Yeah, there was. There was a lot of work towards the Ensenada end. Because we don't have the local knowledge, we perhaps didn't take the best line.
But you won the trophy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that I think that would account for something. But it is very much of a race against your own skill and what the boat can do when you're doing these things. Did you see other people when you were out there, or were you mostly alone?
No, we certainly see other boats. Boats are normally, within eyesight when you've got that bigger fleet and that size, that length of race in that sort of breeze. Yes, you have visual contact with most of the boats. Yeah, there were points probably where we couldn't see anyone, and certainly after dark we couldn't see anyone.
That's it. That's it for that.
Yeah. So, it's always a challenge. I mean, the good thing about yacht racing you know, you can really, you can have any sort of boat, and there's a handicap system that helps, you know, even it out. So, yeah, although, you know, you're saying we won, but, I mean, we got Lion on us, which is winning in most people's eyes. But the truth of the matter, I think we actually came fifth in our division. And, yeah, there were, you know, I don't know what it was overall. But we, you know, we sailed a good race. And retrospectively, you know, like we could have done better because, like I said, we didn't have the local knowledge. And if we had a bit more local knowledge, I think we probably could have won it outright then. So
that skipper, Duncan Hine, he's in the Alive, the 66-foot canting keel, Reichel Pugh. He's out of Tasmania, which I think is fantastic. Hey, thanks for joining us from San Diego, Skip, and best of luck for the future races.
Fantastic. Thank you for having me.
And okay. Yes, and as always, we got about 30 seconds. Anything going on? I mean, we're getting closer to the GP here, right?
Right. We have the Sail GP coming up this weekend. It's on the 5th and 6th, on the 4th and 5th, and it is in the area between the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz. And I noticed I was over there at the St. Francis Yacht Club and Golden Gate Yacht Club this last weekend, and they have bleachers set up.
Oh.
So it's kind of like they've made it into a stadium, and they'll have spectators in both of the clubs as well as on the shore there.
Very cool. And once again, brought to you by Building Bridges. It's Sail Sports Talk, Rick Tittle, along with Karen Lyle. Karen, great to see you. We'll see you next week.
It's great to see you, Rick.
All right, now I'm Rick Tittle. Well, come on back.